You know you wanna.
Capitulation is inevitable. She laughs as I stick the tip of my tongue out and lick off the three-milk mixture that gives the tres leches its name. So that's what belonging tastes like. Thanksgiving dinner at La Casa de Charity Sanchez is unremarkable. Okay, that's not entirely true. Because it was a special occasion, the parentals said we could each have una copa de vino. That's how Poppy said it. So we each did. But I might have also potentially snuck into the kitchen to imbibe a glass of that mojito stuff Poppy makes. And since I only weigh 117 pounds and have only had alcohol one time before, I might have been a little woozy by the time I got back to the table. It might also be said that everything at dinner after that is fuliginous at best. So let's just fast forward to the nonsense and be done with it. Scene. After an uneventful Thanksgiving dinner, the three friends retire to Jupiter's bedroom to while away an indeterminate number of hours while the parentals embark on whatever it is parentals embark on. Within said bedroom, Jupiter is at her desk on her laptop, likely putting the finishing touches on tomorrow's community service outreach. Courtney is reclined in his special chair, watching a black-and-white film featuring a middle-aged white man who talks funny and appears to have a penchant for younger women. And Ray is lying prone on Jupiter's bed, reading the cover story in a magazine entitled Feminist Monthly, about a group of European women who stage topless protests to combat religion and patriarchy by writing activist-ish messages across their breasts. Ray doesn't understand the purpose of such brazen self-exposure, but it does bring another question to the tip of her tongue. Jupiter? What's it like to have sex with a girl? Frickin' frack, did Ray really say that aloud? Guessing I did, by the way Jupiter rotates in her chair with her eyebrows raised, and Courtney continues to stare at the TV, but blinks rapidly for a few seconds before clearing his throat. No point in turning back now. I mean, there's no boy part, I say. So, what do you, like, do? I sit up. Whoa, too fast, room spinning. Wow. Jupiter rubs her nose ring. Seems to be her apprehensive tell. That was kind of out of nowhere, Ray. Courtney coughs, but I can tell he's really laughing into his hand. My suspicion is confirmed when Jupiter glares at him.
Well, Jupiter, he clasps his hands in his lap. What is it like?
Jupiter picks up the unicorn beanie baby from her desk and lobs it at him. Now he's laughing openly.
I've never actually done it, Ray, Jupiter says.
Really? The plot thickens. But what about Brianna?
What about her?
You haven't hooked up with her? I know you two hang out a lot. Seems like a missed opportunity. Courtney looks back at the TV and pulls his lips between his teeth. Jupiter shakes her head.
Brianna and I are just friends, Ray.
Oh, okay. Well, what about kissing a girl, then? What's that like?
Well, I assume it'd be like kissing anyone with a mouth.
Is it me, or does she sound a little perturbed?
But I wouldn't know because I haven't done that either.
Wait, so how do you know you're gay then?
Courtney's eyes go wide, and he and Jupiter look at each other. This is when I know I'm drunker than I realized. From the looks on their faces, if I'm reading their expressions correctly, I just said something offensive. But I genuinely want to know. Like, sometimes I totally find myself looking at Jupiter's mouth and wondering what it would be like to kiss her. Does that make me gay? Well, I guess bi would be more accurate because I've thought about kissing Courtney, too. And again, my boy sex experiences weren't satisfying in the least. Would I like it better with a girl? And what if I did kiss Jupiter and liked it? I would totally have to be gay or bi then, right? How does she even know? I know that's a little forthright, but seriously, how do you know you're gay?
Well, Ray,
Jupiter says, and she definitely looks aggravated now.
Did you have to kiss or have sex with a guy to know you're straight?
No, I say. But I don't really know if I'm 100% straight. These boobs in your magazine, for instance. I hold the page up for them to see. Well, they're kind of nice to look at. And it's a little confounding because the more I look at them, the more tingly I get down in my,
whoa, there, Sprinkles.
Courtney rises from the chair to take the magazine from my hand.
Might be a good idea to lie down now. You've obviously had a bit too much to drink.
Oh.
How much did you drink, Ray?
I've heard of lowered inhibitions, but this is a lot, baby girl, Jupiter says. Oh, you called me baby girl. Okay, maybe they're right. Sorry if I crossed a line, I say. I just really wanted to know. I've had sex with a boy, and it honestly didn't feel all that great. So I wondered if maybe...
Wait, you're not a virgin? Courtney says.
No.
For real? Why is that so shocking? Jupiter asks. Besides, virginity is a misogynistic patriarchal concept historically used to control female sexuality.
Huh? I say.
We'll talk about it when you're sober, sweet pea. Just know you have no reason to be ashamed.
She glares at Courtney.
Dog, I didn't say anything about being ashamed. It just surprises me that she's had sex. Well, it shouldn't. Whatever, Jupiter. You can't tell me you're not surprised, too.
I'm not as surprised as you are.
Well, she doesn't seem like the type, does she?
What the hell is that supposed to mean? Wow, they're really going at it over my vagina. I cock my head to look at Jupiter. Well, more like my head plops to one side, since I no longer have much control over my neck. Anyway, I don't think I've ever seen her this mad before. Courtney just waves her off and looks at me.
I'm surprised because you're only 15, Ray.
I just turned 15 when I did it the first time, I say. It was basically terrible. Jupiter's eyes expand.
Did he force you? That's quite the conclusion to jump to, Jup. Can it, Coop? Did he, Ray?
Not exactly.
Was it consensual?
I shrug. More or less. She gets up and comes to sit next to me.
Ray, this is serious. Did you give full permission when it happened?
I mean, I definitely said yes out loud, I say. He wouldn't do it until I said the actual word. So I said it. Just wish I hadn't. It's not like I loved him.
Oh, Ray.
Jupiter puts her arm around me, and I lay my head on her shoulder. She's so cozy. Courtney leaves the room and comes back with a box of tissues.
He sits on my other side, and Jupiter pulls a tissue from the box and wipes my face with it. Not sure when I started crying.
"So what happened?"
Jupiter asks.
"Wait, maybe I should leave."
Courtney moves to stand, but I stop him. "No, stay," I say. "It's not much of a story anyway. My ex, Corey, wanted to do it, so I said yes. I just wanted him to be happy."
"Ah," Courtney says. "The people-pleasing thing."
Jupiter.
"She's a people-pleaser?"
Courtney.
"Yep."
Jupiter.
"That explains a lot."
Me. "What's that supposed to mean?" Jupe.
"Sweetie, nobody's that damn happy."
Me. "So you knew I was faking?" Jupe.
"Ray, do I look like I was born yesterday?"
Courtney.
"Can we get back to Corey or whatever his name is?"
Me, internally. "Wait, does Courtney Cooper sound a little jealous?" Me, aloud. "Well, we only did it a few times before he broke up with me. Said he could tell I wasn't into it, and that his inability to satisfy me was destroying him." Jupe.
"Of course the dickhead made it about him. Friggin' patriarchy."
Coop.
"Not the time, Jupe."
Jupe.
"Whatever, Coop. You know I'm right. Anyway,
we're so sorry that happened to you, Ray." Jupiter kisses my forehead. I look up at her again. Her lips look so soft, like little flesh-covered pillows. Her boobs feel really nice against my arm, too, also quite pillowy. It's doing a lot for my hampered proprioception. "Hey, Jupiter?"
"Yeah, babe?"
"Can I kiss you?"
Courtney snorts. "Well, definitely time for me to go."
He stands. Jupiter gulps.
"You should lie down now, okay?"
I nod and let her guide me to the pillow. 13. Superfluous. Adjective. More than is required. Unnecessary or needless. Our beloved football team loses the state semifinals, which concludes my inaugural varsity cheerleading season at Decatur High. But, of course, there's still a grand fête at the quarterback's lake house. Not that it's any fun for me. For one, I'm sad the season's over. Practices and games were downright life-giving because they were my one reminder of my former life. Now I feel untethered. For two, I'm trying to pretend I'm having the experience of my very existence. But every time I look up and see Courtney and Jupiter dancing, laughing, bantering, being best friends forever, I want to vamoose into thin air and never return. Yet, simultaneously squeeze in between them so they make a sandwich out of me. I've been feeling this way since waking up in Jupiter's bed a week ago on the day after Thanksgiving. And it's very confusing.
"Ray Ray!"
Britton crows as he approaches with red cup in hand. I'm nauseated just thinking about what might be inside it. Again, Thanksgiving. "Hi, Britton!" I force a smile.
"Don't think I don't know you're over here faking the funk, girl,"
he says, pointing at me for emphasis.
"What's really going on? You bomb that AP language essay like I did?"
"No, nothing like that." I try not to look past him at Courtney and Jupiter, who are currently slow dancing, despite the upbeat Drake song currently throbbing through the speakers. I obviously fail.
"Earth to Ray Ray,"
Britton's waving his hand in front of my face, and I send a silent prayer of thanks to the universe for his inebriation. Were he sober, all he'd have to do to find the answer to his question would be to follow my eyes. "What are you talking about, silly goose?" I say with a gentle shove. "I'm having a great time."
"You know how I know you're lying?"
I draw back. Can he really see through me that easily?
"You didn't use an SAT word."
He lifts his cup and flashes the most self-congratulatory grin I've ever seen. It makes me laugh and thaws my frozen heart just the slightest bit. Seeing as Courtney and Jupiter are too lost within their little microcosm to check on measly old me, I thank God for Britton in this moment. I might be overthinking, but despite Jupiter saying I fit with her and Courtney, lately, when I'm around them, I feel a bit redundant.
"Come dance with me," Britton says.
I agree. There is really no disagreeing. But I come to regret it, because, of course, he pulls us into orbit around the star formation that is Jupe and Coop. If I didn't know better, I'd swear they were madly in love with each other.
"So, what's new, Ray Ray?"
Britton says, beginning a restrained two-step-type move from side to side. He dances like a white guy who can't dance, which I find surprising, despite the fact that he is a white guy.
"Nothing at all."
Courtney whispers something in Jupiter's ear, and she tosses her head back in riotous laughter. My heart falls into the 5-inch wedge boots I shouldn't have worn, because who am I trying to impress? No one who's actually acknowledging my presence right now, that's for sure. Though, that might not be a bad thing, because in this moment, I can't tear my gaze away from Jupiter's beautiful neck. What I'm not telling Britton. Thanksgiving night, I woke up in Jupiter's bed at 3:47 a.m., because my bladder was on the verge of paroxysm. But when I came out of the bathroom, I accidentally went to the guest room, where I normally sleep when I stay over. Since I'd fallen asleep in Jupiter's bed, she was in the guest room, which made perfect sense. What was odd was that Courtney was in there with her. I got all the way to the bed before I noticed. Thank God they didn't wake up. That they were all curled up together on their left sides. He had his arms around her waist from behind, and she was tucked into the curve of his body, like two human spoons nestled together in a silverware bed. In the grand scheme of things, I guess it wasn't that bizarre. Dane Greaves, this gay guy back home, and his female best friend, Maisie Phillips, used to literally sleep together all the time. It's perfectly permissible for Jupiter and Courtney to do the same. They've been friends for an eon, and technically, I'm the interloper, so no big deal. Except, I'm jealous.
"Spin move!"
Britt exclaims, twirling me so haphazardly he almost falls.
"You good over there, little Britt?"
Golly's to our right, with Shauna Wilmington basically grinding on his knees. It's a sight.
"Hush, fool,"
Britt says. "We're going to find some water," Jupiter says, taking Courtney's hand but turning to me. "You good, baby girl?" Courtney beams down at me, too. So they are cognizant of my existence. I smile in spite of myself. "I'm good."
"Take care of our girl, Britt,"
Courtney says.
"Aye, aye, Cap'n,"
Britton replies. Then Jupiter kisses my cheek, and she and Courtney are off. I watch them go. I'm sure Jupiter would terminate our friendship if she heard me say this. She's pretty vocal about how much it annoys her that people assume she wants to bang every girl she lays eyes on. But there have been times when I've wondered if she's into me that way. Like, she'll give me a certain look, or she'll say things that seem a bit coquettish.
though I usually brush it off because she's the same way with Courtney. Either way, I often wonder if I'm feeling stuff for her. Like, right now, my face is still tingling where her lips touched it, and I haven't taken my eyes off her, even though she's across the room. It's possible my attraction is rooted in the fact that she's such a force, and everyone adores her, so it's fairly exhilarating when her attention is on me. But I do sometimes get the same light-headed, fluttery sensation from her that I get from Courtney. And there is certainly some more-than-friendship attraction with him. I'm trying my best to suppress all attractions, because I don't want to upset the pre-existing equipoise. But he makes me feel accepted and secure, while she makes me feel beautiful and powerful, like there's nothing I can't conquer. If I could combine them, they'd make the perfect boy-slash-girlfriend. Girlfriend? Not that I really believe in love or those kinds of relationships anymore. They come back. "So, I think we're gonna go," Jupiter says. "Can't find anything to drink around here but Kool-Aid and liquor. Ray, you coming?" I look at her, and she's smiling with that signature Jupiterian twinkle in her eye. "Yeah, I'm coming." As if I could say no. 14. Synchronism. Noun. The simultaneous occurrence of causally unrelated events, and the belief that the simultaneity has meaning beyond mere coincidence. Courtney takes his eyes off the road to glance at me in the passenger seat.
"You're pretty mum over there, Sprinkles. Everything cool?"
We're headed to investigate what I think is a pretty promising lead in the Carl conundrum. I found it the day after the football team's literal pity party, but we're just now getting around to checking it out, 9 days later. Because basketball season is in full swing, so Courtney isn't around very much. I turn to meet his eyes, then sigh and shift my attention back to the miserable late-autumn landscape on the other side of the windshield, all cold and dreary and bereft of life. "Just have a lot on my mind," I say. Few seconds of silence, and then,
"Yeah, I feel that."
"You do?"
"Yeah."
Another long pause. Then he takes a deep breath.
"You remember asking me if I miss my dad?"
I nod.
"Mm-hmm." "Well, I do."
"Oh."
I'm glad we're doing this search for Carl thing."
"You are?"
"I am. So, thank you."
"Oh. Okay," I say. "You're welcome." And he laughs, which makes my stomach flip over with delight and throws me back into my tangle of unaskable questions and conflicted emotions. Which, of course, he notices.
"So what's up with you? Want to talk about it?"
"Indubitably" is how I'd like to respond. I can't seem to get the word past my lips. What would I say afterward? That while I do feel more integral to the trio as of late, I still can't stop thinking about finding him and Jupiter in bed together? That I've come this close to asking Jupiter about it on a number of occasions, especially when I think about some of the mortifying stuff she told me I said while under the influence? I always lose my nerve because, really, is it any of my business? That even thinking about it right now, I can't figure out if I'm jealous of him for getting to be that close to her, or her for getting to be that close to him.
that these questions have been my constant cognitive companions over the past 2.5 weeks? That this Carl conundrum jaunt is actually meant to be a distraction from all that, but it isn't working? Courtney, can I ask you something? Is what I say. And I know the next question will shock him, but if I can't talk about what's on my mind, I have to talk about something else.
If I make the joke about you not giving me a choice, will you say I'm being defensive?
He winks at me. The Courtney butterfly in my stomach flutters in a haphazard circle. There's a Jupiter butterfly in there as well, which is confusing. And that's why I have to ask the question. It's kind of personal, I tell him.
Shoot.
Have you ever questioned your sexual proclivities? He doesn't respond. I just mean, like, being as surrounded by gayness as you are. Oh, God, am I allowed to say gayness? I put my hands over my face. Was that totally offensive? He laughs.
It's all good, Sprinkles. Not sure I understand what you mean, though.
I sigh. Well, you grew up surrounded by people who are gay. Have you ever thought you might be like them? Just seems like something someone would wonder, being around it so much. I hope I don't sound as ignorant as I feel. We lapse into this profoundly awkward silence where he's squinting and chewing half of his lower lip, a lip that is just as nice as Jupiter's, I might add. But now I feel bad because I obviously made him uncomfortable. I look down at my chipped nail polish as we pull to a stop at a traffic light. He turns to me.
What I'm about to say to you stays in this car. Got it?
My mouth goes dry.
Well?
I nod and drag my index finger and thumb across my lips. Zip! When the light turns green, he takes a deep breath and eases the car back into motion.
The only other person on the planet who knows about this is Jupe, so if it gets out, I'm going to know it was you.
He cuts me a look that I assume is meant to intimidate, but is really just a reminder of his plentiful sex appeal. It makes me blush and giggle.
I can't believe I'm telling you this, he continues, shaking his head. But yes, before I realized gayness isn't transferable, there was a point when I wondered if maybe I'd be gay because I spent so much time with Jupe, Dad, and Poppy. Let's just say I did an experiment with some pictures to check.
Ah, how old were you?
5th grade, so 11. Bottom line, the pictures of guys did nothing for me, but the pictures of women? Well, I vividly remember the first one. It was this lady wrestler in this white bikini, and yeah, you get it.
So that was it?
Yep.
I see his Adam's apple move like he's gulping, and his hand muscles are flexed from where he's gripping the steering wheel so hard. I shift in the worn leather seat. Are you wondering why I asked?
Nope.
You aren't?
Not at all.
Now he looks at me.
It was pretty clear a couple of weeks ago that you're questioning, Ray.
What do you mean?
You asked Jupe if you could kiss her. Yes, you were drunk, but you know what they say about alcohol being the first FDA-approved truth serum.
I can't even respond. It's like my jaw's been wired shut. We stop at another traffic light.
You good?
He pinches my cheek.
You're all pink beneath your sprinkles.
I swallow, hard, clear my throat. I asked her what?
Well, you had a number of interesting queries, but you flat out said, "Can I kiss you?" You don't remember?
Criminy and sugar biscuits. No! Courtney laughs. It's not funny, Courtney! I swat him on the arm. Ugh, this is so
so embarrassing. She told me I asked some relatively inappropriate questions, but she didn't mention that. He's laughing so hard there are tears in his eyes.
I can't believe she didn't tell you.
Me either.
Actually, no. He shakes his head. I take that back. It makes perfect sense.
How? He goes silent, which is bizarre, considering how hard he was just laughing. He's got the furrowed brow, lip-chewy ponder face thing going again, but this time he looks at me.
Okay, I'll say two things and then let's switch subjects, because I don't like talking about Jupe when she's not around.
Duly noted. He takes a deep breath.
Number one, I personally don't see anything wrong with questioning Sprinkles. Not that you ask me, but I think it's your life, and ultimately you have to choose how to live it, yeah?
Yeah. I'm smiling so hard, it feels like my face might split. I really love it when he calls me Sprinkles, though I've noticed he doesn't do it around Jupiter, which is intriguing.
Number two, and I'll only say this once because it's none of my business, but as your friend, I feel like I should warn you. If you do get some kind of experimentation urge, Jupiter is not the girl to try and satisfy it with.
Oh? Why did that give me vertigo?
She's just not that girl, Ray.
Okay.
Between the two of us, yeah, Jupe's all, I am feminist, gay woman, hear me roar, but she's also a hopeless romantic. She wants all of our firsts to be with the same person.
Firsts?
Kiss, I love you, anything sexual.
So she's never been in love before either?
Apparently not. You know that charm bracelet she wears?
It appears in my mind's eye. Yeah.
She got it for her 15th birthday. Each of those charms represents a different, intimacy act. And she's supposed to give the charm to the first person she does each act with.
He looks at me.
She still has all of them.
Wow, I say. I don't even know what to say to that. He laughs.
You're surprised about all this?
A little. And also ashamed, because why would I presume any differently?
Don't feel bad, Ray, he says. Most people assume Jupe is more experienced than she is. You know Shauna from the squad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's been trying to get with Jupe since we were freshmen.
Wait, Shauna's a lesbian? Actually, she'd have to be bi, because she's dating a guy right now. Unless she's not out? I can't bring myself to say any of this aloud.
She's romantically straight, as she puts it.
Ah, heteroromantic. His brows lift. I've been doing my research, I say.
I can see that.
He grins, and my cheeks heat.
As I was saying, Shauna, among others, is all about going gay for Jupiter Charity Sanchez. They're convinced Jupe is some lesbian sex goddess.
This doesn't alleviate my guilt over my own assumption, but okay.
Anyway, if you're looking to do a kissing version of my naked picture test, just know Jupe's not the person to go to.
I nod again, admittedly a smidge defeated. Got it. Courtney signals to turn left onto a gravel road. I recognize the street name from the address I plugged into his map app. We pass a crumbling brick mailbox and turn down a drive lined on both sides by massive trees without leaves. Thanks for telling me that, Courtney, I say, just to be saying something. You're a good friend. He looks at me and laughs as a brick mansion comes into view ahead of us.
Don't thank me, Ray.
Why not?
My motives weren't the least bit pure.
We pull into the driveway, which circles a filthy, non-functioning fountain with a stone merry-go-round at its center, which makes me nervous. Hope there's no repeat of the recent carnival fainting incident. Courtney's certainly too heavy for me to lift, and I only have a learner's permit, so I couldn't drive us back. Not legally, at least. Thankfully, he doesn't seem to notice it. "What do you mean your motives weren't pure?" I say. He parks, pulls the emergency brake, and then turns to me. Compared with the desolate scene outside the car, his eyes look like the dancing flame of a lit match.
"If you want the truth, Sprinkles, I'd be a little jealous."
He winks at me again and gets out of the car. I do the same. Exit the car, I mean. But my grip on reality is feeble at best. Did Courtney Cooper just say he'd be jealous if I experimented with Jupiter? And he obviously meant he'd be jealous of her, right? Which would mean he's interested in doing something beyond what friends bound by love for a mutual childhood hero do with me. Because he couldn't possibly mean he'd be jealous of me getting to do that stuff with Jupiter, since he's known she likes girls for as long as she...
"So this place is creepy as hell."
He snatches me back from the edge of a thought spiral. We stare up at what looks like a mansion plucked out of a Civil War film. It's perfectly symmetrical and has four massive white pillars holding up the rounded roof of the porch. We can see the neon "No Trespassing" sign on the oversized front door, and literally all the windows on the first floor of the front facade are either boarded up or broken.
"Probably should have asked you to be more specific about where we were going before driving an hour and a half to get here," he says. "But what exactly is this place?"
"Well, I was poking around online and stumbled onto this blog that lists all these conspiracy theories about individuals who starred in children's television shows. There was a whole section dedicated to a guy referred to as the one who spun, and they mention this place by address." I point at the house.
"Okay."
I was able to find a public record listing Karlswald Fingelblatt as the last owner.
"Karlswallow finagled what?"
"Karlswald Fingelblatt. It's Carousel Karl's full name." One of Courtney's eyebrows lifts.
"A black guy named Karlswald? Come on now."
I shrug. He takes a look around, and I see his eyes widen. He found the carousel fountain.
"Whoa."
"Please don't faint, please don't faint, please don't faint."
"Yeah."
He clears his throat.
"Guess that's a little hard to explain away."
Clearly uncomfortable now.
"You were saying?"
I gulp. Right. So the house went into foreclosure in 2009. That's a year before he was spotted panhandling in the city.
Aha.
It adds up, right? He looks over his shoulder at the fountain again, then back at the house.
"I guess."
The air around us is so heavy, it wouldn't surprise me if birds began to fall from the sky. But now I'm too focused on the golden doorknob, the only thing on the house with any luster left, to be bothered by it.
"So here we are, at Carousel Karl's old house," Courtney says. "What do we do now?"
I'd like to say we go in and search for clues, like the Argonauts we are. But even the thought of those words is ludicrous. So instead of speaking, I take a step toward the wide concrete stairs that will carry us toward the door.
"Whoa, now." Courtney catches my wrist. "Big, creepy house plus unsupervised teenagers never adds up to anything good, Ray."
"Oh, come on, Courtney," I say. "We have to go in.
What if there's a clue or something?
I know I've gone off the deep end now, but the longer I stand here looking at the house, the more desperate I am to go inside. How many times in life will I get an opportunity to explore the former home of the man whose disappearance played a major part in two hands shoving me out of childhood? While I'm old enough to know Carl's disappearance had nothing to do with my mom leaving, there's no disconnecting the two in my mind. Such is the nature of childhood trauma, I guess. I need to find out what happened to him.
But what if there's, like, a torture chamber inside?
Courtney gulps.
Or a cellar full of dead bodies. You know what folks say about meeting your heroes.
Highly unlikely.
But how do you know?
I mean, I don't know, I say. I just think the same rationale behind why I doubt he's dead applies here, too. If Carousel Carl had committed some heinous crime, we'd have heard about it. Chilly breeze whips past, and I get a serious case of the collie wobbles. We're so close, though. I have to go in there, Courtney. I need to know what happened to him. I still remember my mom waking me up before dawn to tell me she had to go see Dado and Nana for a little while. And then turning on the TV a few hours later to find some show with talking trains instead of Carousel Carl. It upended my whole damn universe. His eyes go really wide, but they seem to be filled with wonder.
Did Ray Chin cuss just now?
Oh, it slipped.
Well, shit then, Ray.
There's a pause as Courtney looks back at the house.
If this means enough to have you using that kind of language, I guess we have to do it.
I look up into Courtney Cooper's insane hazel eyes. For real?
I mean, you do need a guy right now, right?
I can't reply, because the butterfly is doing loop-de-loops, and it feels like my tongue has glued itself to the roof of my mouth. He takes my hand and turns back to the house.
Come on,
he says.
Let's go set some skeletons free from some closets.
The wood of the doorframe is all rotted, so it only takes a few blows from Courtney's boulder shoulder to get the door open. The first things we see once we're inside are the merry-go-round unicorns standing guard at the foot of each side of the double staircase. The whole setup is faintly backlit by light filtering through grimy windows at the opposite end of the house. Courtney pulls out his phone, turns on the little flashlight, and points it upward to illuminate the second-floor balcony overlooking the foyer. In place of a chandelier is a hanging lamp shaped like the sun, with 9 different colored balls of blown glass dangling around it. Clearly made before Pluto got planet demoted. Looking up at this bizarre light fixture, while standing between 2 cracked and peeling, yet somehow still majestic, horned carousel stallions, all I can think about is watching the solar system episode in Mom's lap. Carl explained just how tiny we are. How while the Earth seems enormous to us, over 1 million Earths could fit inside the sun, and how the sun is diminutive compared to other stars, not only in our galaxy, but in the observable universe. I was so bewildered, I burst into tears. Mom comforted me and tried to explain how much of a privilege it is to be alive and loved. And for a while, it all made sense. But then she left. Heliosphere, I mumble.
Huh?
It's the 11-letter word for the bubble in space that contains our solar system. He doesn't respond. She's a cruciverbalist, I say.
Huh?
My mom,
Her name is Siobhan, and she's a cruciverbalist.
What's that?
A person who creates crossword puzzles. She loved language and rare words and puzzles, and things that reminded her of how awesome the human mind is, relative to how minuscule humans are in comparison to the universe. As I blink, and the first tears roll down my cheeks, I look over at him. He's holding his light up toward the second floor, but is staring at the nearest unicorn.
Uh-oh.
Come on, I say, grabbing his arm. Let's look around a little and then go. It'll be dark soon, and we need to use the available light. We walk beneath the solar system and into what must have once been the living room. The floor-to-ceiling windows curve outward and are covered in dust and grime, and there's a giant stone fireplace in the wall to the right, but no furniture. As a matter of fact, the whole house is empty. The kitchen has holes where appliances should be. The dining room has an empty china cabinet built into the wall, and a perfectly round chandelier that looks like it's made from conjoined metal toilet paper rolls dangling at eye level in the center of the room. And there's a high-ceilinged space full of dust-laden shelves that must have been a library. Upstairs is more of the same, except it's easier to see. None of the dirty windows are boarded. Just room after room of bare walls and dusty wood floors. Until we reach a room at the back of the house that we have to go up a small flight of stairs to enter. I'm so in awe of the floating dust particles in the air. I don't notice that Courtney has stopped dead just inside the doorway until I smack right into him. He doesn't budge. When I look past him, I see why. While a large window giving a view of the backyard and woods beyond takes up a decent portion of the rounded wall opposite the door, every other inch of space is covered in pictures. And every picture features a family, standing with Carousel Carl at various Carl's carnivals. Whoa. I come around to stand beside Courtney. My stomach churns, but I can't move another inch. When I look at him, his eyes are focused on a spot to the left of the mammoth window. His lips are slightly parted, and he looks as though he's sighted a poltergeist, which makes me nervous. Were he to drop here and happen to fall backward down these few stairs, he'd go. Courtney, are you okay?
Do you see them?
Okay, really scared now. Do I see what?
The pictures.
Yeah, they're every... No, the pictures. I follow his gaze, and then my feet are leading me closer to the wall. Because it looks like... But there's no freaking way. I pull out my own cell phone and turn on my little flashlight. Maybe 3 feet to the left of the window, right at my eye level, is the picture of Courtney and Miss Nita with Carousel Carl. And right next to that picture is a picture of another family I know. Carousel Carl is standing beside a thin Chinese man who has his arm around a curvy woman with rosy cheeks, flaming red hair, and a smile as bright as the North Star. In front of the man is a lanky girl with pale skin and jet black hair. And in front of the woman is 4-year-old me. 15. Sobriety. Noun. A state or quality marked by seriousness, gravity, or solemnity. If Courtney and Jupiter take notice of my drearier demeanor post-field trip and photo discovery, neither lets on. I would guess he told her the whole story. He looked a bit shell-shocked when he dropped me off, and he said he'd be at her house if I needed anything. But he hasn't mentioned the trip since, and neither has she. On the one hand, I'm thankful. I have no idea what I'd say were either of them to bring it up. However, halting our investigation without discussion and keeping everything bottled up is taking its toll. My always happy face has begun to falter at inopportune times. Like in class. This morning in chemistry, for instance, as the teacher droned on about the importance of synthetic elements, my mind drifted off to what I've been calling, inside my head at least, the rounded reliquary, that convex room in Carl's house where we discovered the carnival photos. No idea how long I was out of it, but the guy sitting next to me, who I believe is class president, put a hand over mine and said,
"Hey, are you all right? You look like you're about to cry."
I got excused to the bathroom. And then there's now, evidently. Britton and I are at our regular table in the school library, having our final lunch hour SAT study session before holiday break, when I hear him say,
"Ray Ray, you good? Looking a little lachrymose over there, girl."
And see him grin in a very self-satisfied way. 10 vocab bonus points, Britton.
"Don't try to change the subject," he says. "You were zoned out for a good 5 minutes. Why you look so sad?"
"Hey, Ray," someone shouts from across the room. The timing is perfect because I'm forced to stick a smile on my face. I keep it there as I turn back to Britton.
"Uh-huh," he says. "Go ahead and disavow whatever notion is telling you that fake-ass smile is gonna work on me."
My jaw doesn't hit the table, but it falls far enough.
"Bet you didn't know I knew that one," he says. "Now spit it out."
Initially, I don't respond. Just sit there, locked in a stare-down stalemate. Except I'm predestined to lose because my resolve is weak. And now I'm starting to feel like I have to make this wasted study time worth his while. Plus, I don't want to be a bad friend. I sigh and glance around the room. "Do you have any siblings, Britton?"
"Diana and Jack-Jack, age 5.
"They're twins?"
"Mm-hmm, and holy terrors."
I grin. "I have an older sister," I say, still not looking him in the eye. "Bess."
"You don't seem too thrilled about it."
Just like that, I'm on the verge of tears. "I haven't seen her in a long time," I say. "Not in person, anyway. Our parents divorced when I was 4 and she was 8. And then when she turned 14, she moved to New Hampshire to live with my mom."
"Oh, sorry to hear that."
"Which part?" I finally lift my chin.
All of it, I guess."
I nod. "Thank you."
"So, did y'all, like, fall out or something?"
"Huh?"
"You and your sis. Is there a reason y'all don't talk?"
"I mean, we're mutuals online, so there are intermittent likes and comments on posts. More from her than me, now that I'm thinking about it. But as far as why we don't communicate in real life, I'm not really sure. Except I am. As soon as the words are out of my mouth, I know exactly why we don't talk, and why seeing that picture in Carl's old house, more specifically her in it, has made it so hard for me to fake the funk, as Britton would say. She left me. It was one thing for Mom to leave, Not that the divorce wasn't devastating, but I was young, and Daddy made Bess and me both see a counselor. As flippant as it might sound, I feel like I've dealt with that part enough for it to no longer be debilitating. But Bess... Bess is the one who put me back together after Mom left. She's the one who would crawl into my bed and hold me when I cried out for Mom in the middle of the night. She's the one who made my lunches just like I liked them and helped me with my homework. She's the one who promised she'd always be there for me. And then she left too. I didn't realize it before now, but Bess leaving is what killed my belief in romantic love. Clearly, it didn't work for my parents. And what's more, if love between two sisters couldn't keep one of them around, there's no way any type of love between two people who don't share DNA could ever last. Eventually, one person will get sick of the other one, and they'll leave. Just like Mom. And then Bess left me.
Oh, man, Ray Ray, don't cry.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I quickly wipe my face with the heels of my hands.
You don't need to be sorry, he says. Just, well, why don't you call her? Bess, you said, right?
I nod. Yeah.
I'm sure whatever the issue is, it's squashable, right? Blood is thicker than water.
I sniff. That doesn't mean what you think it does, but duly noted. At this point, I just want the conversation to end. Calling her would definitely be the way to go, I say. Thank you.
Of course, Ray Ray. You know you're my favorite.
He reaches over to squeeze my hand. It makes me smile and is unexpectedly settling. Ready for the next word? I say, holding up an index card with the word aberration written on it.
Aberration, he says, a state or condition markedly different from the norm.
Go figure. Later, I'm stretched out on Jupiter's bed, studying for finals. She and Courtney are doing the same, her at the desk and him in the lazy boy. And all I can think about is how much it's going to take for them to get tired of me and decide they were better off as a duo. Jupiter chooses that exact moment to look over her shoulder at me and smile. I've been staring at the back of her luscious curly hair, so we wind up locking eyes.
You okay?
She says, brows tugging together in concern. Of course, Courtney looks up. As melodramatic as it likely sounds, they're both so beautiful, it makes me want to cry. Well, that combined with their kindness, goodness, purity of heart, and garnished with my certitude that this glorious triad I somehow finagled my way into is definitely, definitely temporary. I want to force myself to smile, but I think my heart might be breaking. Don't think I realized it's still capable of such a thing.
You're not thinking about that Corey asshole, are you?
Courtney says. I literally choke on my gum. The look Jupiter gives Courtney is so disdainful, I feel cut to the quick.
The hell you looking at me like that for? He says to her. Perhaps you don't remember because you're obviously not as good a friend as I am.
He winks at me, and for all intents and purposes, I die on the spot.
But the last time Ray looked this sad, she was telling us about Corey.
I shake my head. I'm not thinking about Corey.
Well, I wasn't, but now that I am, I wish I weren't.
He's another one who left. My phone rings. Hi, Daddy, I say, beginning to gather my stuff. Are you outside?
I am,
he says in my ear.
I can come in and say hello to Troy and Emilio if you need a few minutes.
No, I'm ready, I say,
Besides, they're not even here. I cover the mouthpiece as I stand. I'll see you guys tomorrow, I say to Jupiter and Courtney. It's ridiculous, and I know it. But right now,